So the question we're considering this evening, in case you haven't got it yet, is the church hypocritical? And all too often, that's the accusation that comes across of a holier-than-thou attitude that Christians might have. And yet the reality is that as we gather here together this evening, we are sinners forgiven by grace, no better than any other, all rejoicing in the grace and the good news of the gospel. Why are people asking this question? Is the church hypocritical? Why are people asking this question? What drives and motivates the question? And so therefore, what are going to be the key issues to address as we begin to answer it? What are the things that lie behind it? And so therefore, also, what assumptions that people make might need to be challenged? So people ask questions based on assumptions that they make. So for instance, if I ask the question, when will dinner be ready? That assumes that somebody else is cooking it. Now, if that's not true, if I'm supposed to be cooking dinner that particular evening, that assumption needs to be challenged in order to give a correct response to the question. So we're thinking about what assumptions might lie behind that. It's a fairly unlikely question for me to ask, because the reality is it's not usually me cooking, which is probably a relief to the rest of the family. I'll tell you what I said the other week at Costa and questions, and you can see what you think. But there's a couple of questions for you to think through. So there's some paper on your table, some pencils, if you want to kind of write down a few notes as you go through. and then we're going to discuss in our groups afterwards how you thought it went. So how were some of those key issues addressed? And we've put them on the board there. What assumptions were challenged? How was Jesus offered as an answer to those things? And perhaps what more could have been said? I'm not pretending in any way this is the perfect talk that's been delivered. So it'd be helpful to get some feedback about ways we can do things better. But this is kind of one attempt at trying to answer this question. So it's about 7 or 8 minutes, I would think. So we'll have a listen. Well, our question we're thinking about this evening is an important one. Is the church hypocritical? It's an accusation not infrequently directed its way, sometimes because of personal experience, other times because of stories that have been in the news. So this year's Best Picture winner at the Oscars was a film called Spotlight. I don't know if you've seen it. It's an excellent film. It chronicled the investigation by a group of journalists in 2001, the Spotlight team, hence the title, into the child abuse scandal that rocked the Catholic Church in New York. It is a magnificent film, and it was worthy of its awards, but it makes for uncomfortable viewing. And rightly so, as the scale of corruption involving lawyers and the city establishment, and most significantly of all, the church, is steadily revealed as the investigation takes place. The systematic moving of known child abusers from parish to parish, rather than confronting them and dealing with the issue, is awful. And it makes your skin crawl. I confess that I sat there in the cinema grateful that it was dark, and grateful that nobody knew that I was a church pastor. Because I know how I felt about the horror of what I was watching on the screen. So let's begin by being clear. There are some horrific things that have been done in the name of the church. And there are some horrific things that the church has turned a blind eye to. And there are no excuses for those things. But we don't just need to think about those extremes. Perhaps you personally have been affected by a Christian who's been aggressive or uncaring or thoughtless or worse towards you, and in the same breath spoken of a God of love. Well, if that's you, then I can only say that I'm sorry. It should not be that way. Hypocrisy is one of the ugliest things to see, isn't it? Because at its heart lies a terrible inconsistency, a gap between what is claimed or taught and what is practiced. You say one thing and you do another. Actually, it's worse than that. It's not just saying one thing, it's telling others to do one thing and then doing exactly the opposite. It's claiming to love and telling others to love and then causing pain. Is the church hypocritical? Well, when it does that, yes, it is. And Jesus hates it. Jesus reserves his harshest words for those who show hypocrisy, particularly for a group called the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of his day, those who had achieved social standing and respect by their seeming religious devotion. They were looked up to and they were listened to by the rest of the population. They taught others how they should live. And they showed no love or compassion themselves towards those who went astray. They were those who claimed to represent God, but were not like God in any way. And Jesus quotes the Old Testament, their own Bible, at them, demonstrating that God has always hated hypocrisy. He said this from the Old Testament: "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So God himself says there's an inconsistency, not simply between what these religious hypocrites do and say, but between what they do and who he is, that their hearts are far from him. So please don't judge the God behind the church by the failures of his followers. Please don't judge the God behind the church by the failures of his followers. Just as no football fan would want you to judge lovers of football by the actions of a few hooligans. And no teenager would want you to judge the whole of their school by the thoughtlessness of a few who wear their uniform. And no salesperson would want you to judge the whole of their profession by the pushiness of a few. Please don't judge God by the failures of his followers. Instead, judge God by himself. And if you really want to see what God is like, then you need to look at God himself, and he has shown himself most fully in the person of Jesus. You can read one of the early biographies of Jesus, one of the Gospels. There's one on your table for you to take away for free. Read it and make your own mind up about what God is like. See what his compassion, his character is like, what he loves, how he feels compassion, his consistency, his care. See what makes him angry. And it is frequently hypocrites who think they have it all sorted. And see what brings him joy. And it is usually the approach of people who know they are not perfect. And that's important for us to understand. Because nothing rankles with us more, does it, than a holier-than-thou attitude. What angers us most about the hypocrisy that we see around us is the claim to be better than you, to be better than me, which flies in the face of the inconsistency that we see. Is the church hypocritical? Well, where it gives the impression that it is better than everyone else, yes, it is. But what if that's not what the church is supposed to be at all? What if the church isn't claiming to be better than everyone else? Because it shouldn't be. Because it's not. See, the church is a rescue project, not an elite group. And sometimes we can forget that. The church isn't a bunch of people who've got it all sorted. It's not those who are good enough to be accepted by God. It's not those who have made it. Exactly the opposite. The church is full of people who have realized their failures and their mistakes and their inconsistencies. Their failures to be the people they're supposed to be. People who realize they need to be forgiven. And Jesus tells us a story to illustrate that, precisely that. It's in Luke's Gospel in chapter 18. There are copies, again, you can take away and read for yourself. It's on page 47 if you want to look later. It's the story of a Pharisee, a religious leader, and a tax collector, who were the least popular members of society. Not just because they collected taxes, although that would be bad enough, but because they collected taxes for the occupying Roman forces. They had sided with the enemy. And worse than that, they overcharged on tax and they kept the difference. They were unjust and they profited at the expense of others. Well, they both head off to pray, and the Pharisee, the religious leader, stands boldly and says, "Thank you, God, that I am so wonderful. Look at all I do. I give lots of money away. I pray lots. I even go without food to honour you. Thank you that I'm not like bad people, like that tax collector over there." The tax collector, by contrast, retreats to a distance and he bows his head down and says, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Well, you can imagine the scene of those who are listening to Jesus when he tells this story. There remains respect for the Pharisee. He is, after all, he's an honoured religious leader. And there is disdain for the tax collector. Go back to the gutter. Why would God listen to you? And then Jesus drops his bombshell. And he says it's the tax collector, not the Pharisee, who goes home right with God. Which tells us everything about what God is like. He welcomes those who know they need forgiveness, and he turns away those who think they've got it all sorted. And actually, that's wonderfully good news. That's wonderfully good news, because a little honest self-examination reveals that I am far from perfect. I may not be as bad as I could be, but that is no excuse for the things that I do wrong. I've not got it all sorted. I'm not what I should be. And neither I would suggest to you. And those are precisely the people that God accepts, that God welcomes, that God offers to forgive, that God promises to change. Those are the people that Jesus is interested in, and he still is. Read Luke's gospel for yourself. See the evidence there. He has no time for hypocrites. But for those who see the truth of who they are and what they've done, he offers forgiveness and a fresh start. Which means in the end that the church is not full of good people, nor is it for good people. It is for those who know they are not what they should be, and who have asked the good, kind God who is there to forgive them and to begin to change them. See, the church is God's work in progress. And that means that above everything else, the church is a beacon of hope. Not because it always acts like one. It doesn't. But because it is for all of us who see our imperfection and our failure and who want to be forgiven and changed by knowing the God of all kindness and mercy that the church is supposed to follow. Thanks very much for listening.